All right. We are now in Ephesians 4, and this is a dividing point of the book. Ephesians 4, 1 to 6, we're going to do today. So this is what Ephesians and the dividing of the book is right now. The first three chapters, chapters 1, 2, and 3, are basically, I have made you a saint. It's your foundation. Okay? 1 to 3 was, I have made you a saint, your doctrinal foundation. And these 4, 5, and 6 basically are, now live like one. It's the exhortation. So 1 to 3, I've made you a saint. That's your foundation. 4 to 6 is, now live like one, your exhortation. Aren't you glad that God prepares you first, speaks into your life first, gives you all of who you are in Christ and everything else before he asks you to live like one? Because the frustration is, many of us have had live like a Christian after you receive Jesus, but you don't get anything about the progression from faith to sacrifice to wrestling. We go right from faith to wrestling, and then we learn who our identity is, and that's not good news. So when it starts out, therefore, what is therefore, therefore? Rose? For what was before it. So he reaches back to the blessings in Christ from the exalted position that you have in Christ, and also for him, for Paul, as Christ's prisoner, because he says, I am the prisoner of the Lord. Not a prisoner, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. It's a privilege to be a prisoner of the Lord. That's basically what he's saying. So, I did out this sequence and I put it on the one side of the board. Okay? And this is what it looks like. Remember, I have made you a saint, now live like one. God does not ask you to live like something that he hasn't made you. He will prepare you for what he's calling you to do. That doesn't mean that he took you to the mission field before you're ready. He's prepared you, though, ahead of time in your character. So the first thing that happens is you get faith, right? Faith is Abraham. Remember the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Why is it in that sequence? Well, because they were born that way. Yeah, but there's also a reason. Abraham is the father of faith, and that's your salvation. Okay? And in that, you're to die to self-effort. Can you gain the salvation? No. Is there anything that you can work towards salvation? No. So the faith, which is represented by Abraham, is your salvation, and you are to die to self-effort. Stop trying to please God. Stop trying to shine God on. Stop trying to make him your homie, all that stuff. That's it. From faith, you go to sacrifice. All Isaac is known for. What's Isaac known for? Being taken up to the hill to be sacrificed. He's the son, right? The son of the father, sacrificed on the same mount, Mount Moriah, where Jesus was crucified. It was all pointing to Christ. So Isaac is your sacrifice, and it's your sonship. And you have to die to self-will. Okay? First thing is you die to self-effort. The second thing is you die to self-will. And that's what Isaac's known for, is sacrifice. That's it. That's it. And that's where we get our sonship. We are dead in Christ. Remember, we died with Christ. We're risen with him, too. The third thing is the wrestling. And that's our little sly little devil, Jacob, you know, the surplanter. And that's all about sanctification. So you got salvation, sonship, and sanctification in Jacob. And Jacob is to die to selfishness. That's where you learn how to die to selfishness. When we got saved, and it was 10 years before I knew about who I was in Christ. That was Neil Anderson's book that came out, you know, Bondage Breaker and stuff, really understanding who your identity was in Christ. I think my experience was I went from faith to wrestling to sacrifice. And that's not good news when it's out of sequence like that. Because I was always like, oh, Lord, break me. Oh, Lord. No, you know what? You have to understand sonship first. You have to understand your sacrifice. You have to understand you're dead in Christ and you're raised with him before you get the sanctification. Otherwise, it's not good news. And that's why it's like that. Salvation, sonship, sanctification. Die to self-effort, die to self-will, die to selfishness. So he's saying the same thing as he starts out this chapter. Basically, it's like the first three, I'm telling you about doctrine. I'm telling you about foundation. I'm telling you how I made you a saint. That's all we've studied already since September. Right? Yeah. And now he's going to say, now I want you to live like one. The exhortation, the techniques to obey. These are things that we have to do now. But he doesn't ask you to do before he makes you able to do. Get that? Same thing with this. You're not asked to go through sanctification, die to selfishness, until you know that you're saved, die to self-effort, and know that you're a son in Christ, die to self-will. Okay, so he's not some mean puppet master up in heaven going, hey, let's see how you do with this one. He prepares you ahead of time. So now it goes on, and it says, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling in which you were called. And to walk worthy is basically order your behavior and conduct yourself appropriately. That's what it means to walk worthy. Another little quote would be, practice what you preach. Now he wants you to walk it out. Walk worthy. Practice what you preach. Now the calling here is not necessarily the calling for ministry, but it's a calling to, are you willing to walk in the salvation that's extended to you? Now that I've given you salvation, I've extended it to you, are you ready to walk in it? Are you willing to walk in it? Okay? In your calling as a Christian. Now, how do you do that, right? It says here, you walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. Now it starts with some of the identifications of with all lowliness. With all lowliness. So that's the first thing is lowliness. A lot of times we think of lowliness as false humility is pride dressed down. You know? I love the one about, you know, that was such a beautiful song you sang so well. Oh, it wasn't me, it was Jesus. Really, it looked like you up there. This false humility is pride dressed down. It's not mere modesty nor absence of pretense. Okay? Ah, shucks. It's a true estimate of ourselves. So here's a little statement that we've used for years. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking less about yourself. You get that? It's not thinking less of yourself, like I'm a worm, I'm no good, I'm gonna, you know, yeah, self-hatred. But thinking less about yourself, you know? Get over your bad self. Stop thinking about yourself. Think about God. What does God want me to do in this? How's God going to be glorified in this? Okay, so that's the first thing, lowliness. Gentleness, or the word meekness. Gentleness, meekness. There's a word picture here for meekness. It's the Greek word picture is a horse that's not bucking its rider in the midst of battle. So it's strength under control. Meekness. See, we think when you hear the word meekness, what do you think of? Weakness. Is that right? Or, you know, Marvin Milquetoast. It's not. Jesus was meek. Moses was one of the meekest people to ever walk on the face of the earth, says most humblest man. So meekness is our acceptance of his dealing with us without disputing. How much do you complain about your plight? Yeah, I know. We got our wristbands and stuff. I'm still wearing mine 3 years later. The acceptance of his dealing with you without disputing. Do you struggle with the hand that you're dealt in situations? God, what are you teaching me in this? I don't like this. This stinks. Do you accept his dealing with you? Do you know that he has your best interest? Even when you're going through hell. Do you remember, like, if you go to Dairy Queen after we are all done on Sundays, what are you supposed to do? Look at the DQ. What does the DQ remind you of? Die quietly. That's the problem with a living sacrifice that likes to crawl off the altar and scream. Or like bacon. Sizzle, 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 bang, bing, bang, bing, bang, bing, you know. Die quietly, DQ. So you can go by DQ, you say big DQ, you says die quietly. All right, the next one, gentleness with all long suffering. Long suffering. What does long suffering sound like? Yeah. Suffering long. Well, who do you mostly have to suffer long with? People. Patience with respect to persons that you're not easily provoked and that you don't take offense. Being offended is a self-inflicting wound. You choose to be offended. Long suffering. I don't know that you have to be long suffering like this guy I'm going to tell you about. Does anybody ever hear of Watchman Nee? He's probably written more books. I got one here that's over 1 million in print, The Release of the Spirit. Well, Watchman Nee gets saved over in China, and what are they having? In the 1930s, you got Chiang Kai-shek and Mao Zedong, right? Basically, mainland China and Taiwan. And so, on April 10th, 1952, Watchman Nee was arrested and charged as a lawless capitalist. Whatever that means. They informed him of the crimes of Watchman Nee and cited all these allegations. He received a 15-year sentence but was not released at the end of his term. Like, you're going to trust them? His days were divided into 3 8-hour segments, hard labor, re-education, and solitary confinement. During his first 20 years in prison, he was allowed no communication, so he knew nothing about what happened to his wife. During his 20th year in prison, he became sick, and his captives allowed him limited communication. He found out his wife had been arrested and had died years earlier. And on June 1st, 1972, Watchman Nee died in prison, never was let go, after spending 20 years in chains for the gospel. That's long-suffering. But God used his writings that go all over the world in his little booklets and teachings. He's got such insights. And he wrote all these books while he was in prison. That's long-suffering. Long-suffering is not waiting for 10 minutes in the traffic. Right? Not. All right, what's the next one? Bearing or forbearing. The word is really forbearance. Bearing with one another in love. So what that means is to hold up and sustain and endure and be supportive of others. Sustain and endure and be supportive of others. And it says with one another. Who's the one another? Believers. In love. What kind of love is this? It's forgiving love when misunderstandings arise. That's what kind of love it is. It's really love to, it's easy to love somebody who agrees with you and who likes baseball and all this other stuff, right? But not when somebody's contrary to you. Galatians 5:22, the Holy Spirit's the one that produces the fruit. It's all the fruit of the Spirit. It's one fruit. Did you read that in there? Galatians 5:22, it doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love. One fruit. Manifested in joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, kindness. It's one fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It's singular. Holy Spirit's the one that produces it. So forgiving love when misunderstandings arise. And verse 3, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. One of the space shuttles is named Endeavor, right? So what does that word Endeavor mean? What do you think? Endeavor. Endeavoring to keep the unity of Spirit in bond of peace. Take care, make haste, do one's best, show a determined effort. It just doesn't happen. You have to show a determined effort. Make haste, doing your best. And the unity is maintained to the extent that peace is maintained between ourselves. So you see here it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Unity and peace go together. Unity is maintained to the extent that peace is maintained between themselves or ourselves. So when there's peace, there's unity. Now he finishes this segment and he says, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. In y'all. See, there's all southern word. In y'all. It's in y'all. So these are the one and only verses that speak to the church. These are not to be taken like there's one baptism. Oh, okay, well, if you're baptized once, you know, whenever you can't be baptized again, or, you know, be being filled with the Spirit is only one baptism. No, it's not to be taken like that. But there's churches that take that literally and just say, there's just one. That's it. So I put these on the other side. Okay, the one and only verses. So this is how it breaks down. First, it starts with one body. Okay? One body is placed in Christ. We're all one body, the body of Christ. Right? Yes? Yeah, we're all one body. To dwell above with saints we love, oh, what a rapturous glory. But to dwell below with saints we know, well, that's another story. You know? We're all one body, one in Christ. And then it goes, we're one Spirit. Well, what does the Spirit do? It informs the body. The Holy Spirit is the one who informs the body. Right? The Holy Spirit will reveal this to you. Remember, I'm going to be taken away, John 17, but I'm going to send another of the same kind, and he's going to reveal to you. Right? That the Holy Spirit informs the body. Then it says we have one hope. What's the hope? One hope of your calling. What's the hope? It inspires the body. Doesn't hope inspire you? That's what we peddle every day. I tell people when they come in, we peddle hope. I had a guy come in this week, and he was referred by another guy I'm working with. And I said, hey, what did so-and-so tell you about coming in here? He says, enjoy the ride. That's all he said to the guy. I go, what expectation did you have when you walked in here? But that's what we peddle. We peddle hope. One hope inspires the body. One Lord. We have one Lord, Jesus Christ. That's it. He empowers the body. The Lord is the head, remember? Head of the church. He inspires the body. The body doesn't have a head. What is it? Three times. Dead, dead, dead. Dead. Real dead. So you have one Lord. Can everybody read this? Because I got this stuff in the way, right? One Lord. Okay, what comes after Lord? One hope of your calling. One Lord. One faith. So faith is by which the body believes. How do you believe? By faith, right? I live by faith of the Son of God. It's all by faith. Not by works. It's all by faith. Then we've got one baptism. Okay, now we're in hard territory, because now that's when people get into the, you know, baptism. Once you were baptized as a baby, you don't have to be one anymore. You were baptized in such and such a church. They take it the singular, multiple, whatever. not. One baptism is the sign by which the body is identified. Can you be saved without getting baptized? There were people that were fed to the lions. They didn't have time to get baptized. What is baptism? What is water baptism? We had a whole study on this on our Friday study. It's an obedience, because why? Jesus got baptized, right? By John the Baptist. Okay? It's an outward sign of an inward change. That's all it is. Okay? If you never get baptized, but if you have opportunity to get baptized, take the opportunity. One, Jesus was your example. And two, I think by following that example, there is a baptism, you know, is like dying and then coming up out of the water. Tony and I got baptized on our first anniversary. Yep. I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Of course, I'm, you know, blabbing and stuff, and she's like, oh, just going to see how he does with this. You know, she didn't tell me that she... Did you get that at the time? No. Later. No. Marriage. Right, yeah, because April, and then we got baptized in December, yeah. I remember our anniversary, it's December. It's inside. Okay, so that's baptism, is the sign by which the body is identified. The identification with Christ in baptism. And then he ends, and he says, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And that's in whom we are maintained. We're maintained by the Father. Remember? No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. That's pretty secure, isn't it? Yeah. Nobody's able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Okay? So there's your one and only verses for the church, the body of Christ. Placed in Christ, informed, forms the body, inspires the body, empowers the body, by which the body believes, and the sign by which the body is identified with. Why study all that? Why does he have it there now? Doesn't that sound like doctrine and you know, things that we should know back in the first three chapters, foundational stuff? Why is that there now? Because most of what he was speaking to you in the first three chapters was about you individually. Now he's talking about the body, the whole church. And this is how we're supposed to act. Remember, these last three chapters are now live like a saint. And this is how you are to be as far as the body of Christ. Okay? All right, why don't you put your Bibles aside? We got through six verses. Wow. And just plowing right through there. Amazing. All right, let's pray. We'll pass the baskets around for tithes and offerings. And then we can... Hey, we should have brought all that garlic bread that we turned down last night. Yeah, where is it? It's in the freezer. We're putting it in the freezer. Yeah, we'll bring it Wednesday. How's that? Father, we thank you for our time together. This is very fruitful today, and thank you for everyone that has come and learned, Lord, that you do not ever expect us to be and do something instead of, in place of or before understanding who we are in you. We always get the foundation before we get the doing. Thank you for that. Thank you that we didn't get these mixed up, that we're saved, we have sonship in Christ, and we get to go through the sanctification process in that order. Lord, help us to remember somebody like Watchman Nee, who never got out of prison, but his writings went all around the world, and that he practiced patience with respect to persons by being in that prison, wrongfully being in that prison. And Lord, we also pray that we understand love, forgiving love when misunderstandings arise. Help us to be forbearing in that. Help us also to show a determined effort and to do one's best, Lord, in keeping the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So, Father, we do pray. We pray for those that can't be with us. We pray, Lord, for health, that you would please drive these sicknesses away from all of us and every household represented here. And Lord, I know it's just testing our mettle, M-E-T-T-L-E, when we go through these various trials, it produces endurance. Please, please help us to be found worthy of the endurance that we have to face, Lord, and also be ready this week, Lord, to give an account for the hope that's in us for those who ask. Lord, give us divine appointments. I pray every person in here would have at least one divine appointment this week. And help us be ready to share the hope that we have in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.